Good evening. My name is Daniel. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus, having some victory over being abusive and learning how to have empathy and grow in humility.
Hey, Daniel.
So our lesson tonight is called Ready, and there should be handouts in front of you, and there's going to be R-E-A-D-Y, so there's going to be five fill-in-the-blanks, and if you get them correct, it's bonus points.
Yeah.
Not to be too competitive, but who doesn't like bonus points? There's a principle and a step, and I think we've got a slide on that. Can we do the principle? Let's read this one together. Voluntarily submit to every change God wants to make in my life and humbly ask Him to remove my character defects. Happy are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires. Matthew 5, 6. And then let's read step 6. We were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. James 4, 10. So with this ready lesson, I kind of made a list of things that I am ready for, just to kind of let you know what's going on inside my recovery brain. I'm ready for spring and summer and sunny days to return, like today. I'm ready for paying my federal tax, but only on April 15th. I love that auto payment part that they do. Hopefully you've all done your taxes this year. Oregon had a kicker. So that means a refund, so that's a good thing. I'm ready for relationships with my adult children to improve. I'm ready for a better marriage relationship. At age 66, I'm kind of getting retired. I'm kind of getting ready for retirement. I'm ready to complete a step study. I'm in the Journey Continues, also called Step Study 2. I'm ready to check in with my sponsor each week. And I'm ready to meet with the man that I do sponsor each week. But, you know, when I first stepped in those doors, I wasn't ready for recovery. I got caught with pornography on my computer, and it was so embarrassing because I'd successfully hidden my secret sin for decades. So I was leading a double life, and I wasn't ready to come here, and I was forced to come here. You know, my wife said, you go get help or the marriage is over. And I thought, oh, that sounds awful. So I'll show up, but I wanted to be invisible. I didn't really want to be here. And I wasn't ready to start recovery. So recovery was not real helpful at the beginning. Now I rely upon recovery. I keep coming back because I see it working in my life, and I see it working in the lives of men and women around me. And I get inspired every week by the teachings, the testimonies, what's shared in small group. It builds me up. So I'm all in. I'm ready for this now. So you might be somewhere in that journey where you're not ready to start recovery. You might be here under compulsion. You could be here under court order. You could be here because, you know, your marriage is broken. Maybe you're out of work. Maybe a lot of stuff in your life is in chaos. So keep coming back, and you're going to find some hope from changed lives. Because that's what God's all about, and that's what I'm ready to share about tonight. So if you've got your handouts, the first fill in the blank is the letter R for release control. Release control. You know, so when I was in control of my life before recovery, I decided I was going to be a Christian, but then I was going to act out with pornography. I knew it was wrong. I knew it was naughty, but the thrill was just so attractive. You know, I had to have that hit. I had to have that experience. But that was me being in control of my life. And I knew it was wrong, but I didn't really know how to change my behavior. You know, I could try in my own effort, but my own effort just got me in a crazy cycle of repeating. So I wasn't very good at controlling my own behavior to make myself godly. But when I started recovery, when I started here, I found out that this was a place where men could meet and honestly share what their temptations were that week, and how they responded to those temptations, and how they found new boundaries, they found new habits to replace their old habits. And they were giving up control and giving up hiding and just living openly and sharing openly both their faults and their progress. So that was really encouraging to me to find out that I could release control and give my control up to something else, my higher power, which is God. You know, I really had to agree that God's way was better than my way. You know, keeping secrets from people is not a healthy thing to do. It just leads to lies and covers up, and that's not a healthy habit to have. Another habit that I had that became revealed when I started recovery was this habit of winning every argument with every person by all means possible. And that could be using sarcasm, shame, put-downs, exaggeration, comparisons, just whatever I could do to win the argument. That's a very unhealthy pattern. And in recovery, I discovered that was a bad habit and it had to be replaced by something else. And that bad habit in my life, by winning every argument, I could get heated with my son, and I found myself fighting with my son, and I assaulted my son. And I didn't think anything of it until one night the police knocked on my front door and said, you know, Daniel, what you did to your son is called assault. And since he was underage, my wife had the choice of filing charges or not. Well, graciously, she didn't file charges. But within 6 months, I had a restraining order and I was kicked out of my house. So that was an expensive price I paid to be separated from everyone that I loved and wanted to be with. So winning every argument and being in control is a flaw, and I had to release control. There's a Bible verse here under R for release, Psalm 143:10. I don't know, do we have that as a... Let's say this one together. Help me to do your will, for you are my God. Lead me in good paths, for your spirit is good. Psalm 143:10. So God is the one offering to give me help. He's offering to give you help. So that means I have to ask for help. And if you're like a lot of guys, we like to do things on our own terms and we don't like to ask for help. It just seems unnatural. But in recovery, if we ask God for help to change our bad habits or our hurts, he is faithful to hear us and he's faithful to heal us. The next fill in the blank is the letter E, and it stands for easy does it. Easy does it. You know, in recovery, we do something called inventory, and we make a list of people that we've harmed or harm that we have endured, and we kind of make a list of it. We kind of take account of what's happened in our life, and sometimes when you're looking at that list, you can kind of spiral into depression, thinking, oh my goodness, I really screwed up in life. You know, life did not turn out the way I wanted it. My kids did not turn out the way I thought. The marriage did not end up fulfilling the way I thought. My job, my career didn't go the way I thought. There can be a lot of things that inventory starts to reveal. But you also want to, during that inventory process, balance things out. And so count some of the positive things. Like, you know, the best thing of all as a Christian is becoming saved and knowing that my sins are forgiven, knowing that I have a home in heaven, knowing that I'm an adopted child of God, knowing that I can be a new creation if I accept it. So there's an incredible amount of hope that you can also start to list in your inventory. So you can be easy on yourself. You know, easy does it in this process. You know, recovery is a process. So don't think you're going to change overnight and you're going to say one sentence, you're going to read one Bible verse, and you're going to be fixed. I wish there was a secret formula where I could each give you one sentence and you just repeat that one sentence and you'd be fixed. It doesn't work that way in my life. So recovery's been a process in my life. But God's been faithful to change me and point out my character defects. And I have to be easy on myself. And if you've ever done an inventory, one of the people that you have to forgive that's on your inventory list is yourself. You have to be able to forgive yourself. So you have to be a little bit easy on yourself sometimes. There's another Bible verse here from Psalm 37:5. Let's read this one. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him to help you do it, and he will. Psalm 37:5. So there I'm taking some action. I'm committing my life and my decisions to God. And if I'm committing my life and decisions to God, I have to be asking him, is this a wise decision that I'm going to do today? Is this a godly decision that I'm going to do today? And what I'm speaking and what I'm viewing and the people I'm hanging out with, are these good for me or not? So I have to just lift it up before God and be transparent and say, is this really something that you want for me in my life? Because I'm examining my life. I'm not just letting it happen. I'm making some, I'm looking at myself a bit. The next fill in the blank is A, for accept the change. Accept the change. So if you're in recovery, you're looking for change. And if you actually work the steps and you're sincere about it, your life is going to start to change. Your behaviors are going to start to change first. So outward behaviors change first. Your attitudes will come along, and the attitudes can take a little bit longer. And so there's an internal change. So my last drink was in 1989. So I tried for probably 3 years to quit booze on my own. And I couldn't really do it. I didn't go to a 12-step group. I didn't tell anybody about it. I just white-knuckled it. And then I switched that addiction for an applauded addiction. And do you know what an applauded addiction is that's really famous in our culture? Workaholism. So if you work 6-7 days a week, your boss says attaboy, your coworkers say attaboy, you get affirmation, you get bonuses, you get stock, you get this, you get that. So I just switched one addiction for another. Never really dealt with what the booze was doing until I got into recovery and found out what these patterns were doing to me and why I should avoid them. And God gave me new boundaries so that once I stopped drinking, then the desire to drink and that allure of being buzzed. I mean, for me, it was just, I got buzzed because it made me feel good and I thought I got funny. And if people were laughing at me, that means I was accepted and I was a community, I was part of a community. So you're going to have to accept that stuff is going to change in your life. You're going to have new habits, and God is going to be giving you some hints through Bible studies, through the teachings, through the testimonies. If you ever go to a step study, you'll start to find out what the antidotes are in your change. But accept that things are going to be different, and you're going to start responding differently. There's a verse here in 1 Peter 1:13. Let's read this one together. So then, have your minds ready for action. Keep alert and set your hope completely on the blessing which will be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Be obedient to God. do not allow your lives to be shaped by those desires you had when you were still ignorant. 1 Peter 1:13, 14. You know, before Celebrate Recovery, I didn't know that sarcasm and putting people down could be hurtful, could be offensive, could be sinful. I just grew up with sarcasm and smart aleck remarks and being sardonic. But putting other people down to make me feel better and superior, I didn't realize that was a character defect until I got in recovery. And so I admitted it, accepted change, and God gave me the antidote to sarcasm, and it's affirmation. So instead of looking for somebody that's doing something wrong and pointing out, you just did something wrong, I look at people, I find them doing something right, and I say, you did something right. So all of you came to a recovery meeting. You did something right tonight. All of you came to worship. That's always right. All of you came to be in small group to air your temptations, air your progress, air your grievances, maybe air your failures. But you're coming clean. You're coming to a place that's safe that you can do this kind of thing. And that's going to be helpful for you. That's going to be healing for your soul. You're going to find the antidote in God's word to whatever is hurting you. You know, if you've been hurt by somebody, you have to be willing to forgive them. So if you're a victim, you have to ask God, help me be able to forgive my perpetrator. And if you've been the perpetrator, you have to learn how to make amends. So no matter what you've done, God's got kind of a plan to get you back on track. And so that's the change, and it's going to be a different life, something that you haven't done before. The next fill in the blank is the letter D. D stands for do replace your character defects. Do replace your character defects. So before I started the second step study, the journey continues, I went to my wife and I said, hey, I'm going to step study. What are my issues? And I limited her to the first three because she had an extensive list that was accurate. And so I'm working on those three issues in my life, learning to grow in humility, being less judgmental, and there's a third one. I'm sure it'll come back to my mind. Bragging. Yeah, bragging's also part of the humility part. But, you know, if you go to the person that knows you the best, that has known you the longest or has known you intimately, and just say, what are my life issues? And just let them tell you. You know, 20 years ago, if my wife pointed out a character flaw, I would defend myself and argue with her. Today, I just go, you're right. That's a flaw. That's got to be hurtful. That's got to be changed. That can't continue. So instead of fighting the feedback, I'm accepting it and I'm agreeing with it, and I'm agreeing that there's room for change. And I'm asking God, you know, in your word, what's the antidote? What can I do differently so that I'm not being offensive to other people? So the antidote to viewing pornography and objectifying women is viewing women as people. So if I see a young woman, I tell myself, that could be my daughter. How do I think about my own two daughters? I think lovingly about my two daughters. I'm hopeful for my two daughters. I want them to be treated well, not as objects. If I see a woman my own age, I go, that could be my sister. How do I treat my sister in Christ? Well, I treat her well. I treat her as a person. I treat her as a person of value. So God has to change my priorities, and he has to change my thinking. He has to change what I do with my mind and what I think about. So the antidote to arguing is to choose not to argue. So the son who I assaulted, I made amends to. And he told me, Dad, you don't argue with me anymore. And I go, that's right, son. I can disagree with you, choose not to argue, choose not to escalate, choose not to win every argument. We can have difference of opinion. I still love you. But I'm going to choose not to argue with you, because arguing was always my trigger to physical fighting, to assault. So God just convicted me of that behavior and just told me, you don't have to argue. So now it's a tempting, my temptation every day now is on Facebook when stuff goes by, I go, that's not a right statement. That's not a true statement. You know, do I want to correct every statement on Facebook? I would be there 24 hours a day. So I'm not 100% successful, but I'm getting better at not trying to argue with everybody about everything. You know, if you've got a critical spirit, your antidote is to find things to affirm other people with. And, you know, the Bible is just filled with all the antidotes to every hurt, habit, and hang-up that you might be experiencing in life. And when you go to small group and when you listen to teachings and testimonies, you'll start to find out what those are. So grab on to the right thinking and put it into your life, put it into practice. It might be clumsy at first, but give it a try. You know, we are in a spiritual battle. You know, we do have an enemy, and that enemy wants us to fail. The enemy wants us to be stuck in our old addictions and our old ways of thinking and staying a victim forever and staying an abuser forever. But God has given us Celebrate Recovery in His Word to set us free from that. So you've come to a place where we're doing battle, and that's why we have prayer, and that's why we have scripture, and that's why we have worship, because there's a spiritual aspect to our recovery. There's a Bible verse in Matthew 12. Let's read that one. When an evil spirit goes out of a person, it travels over dry country looking for a place to rest. If it can't find one, it says to itself, I will go back to my house. So it goes back and finds the house empty. Then it goes out and brings along seven other spirits, even worse than itself, and they come and live there. Matthew 12, 43, 45. So we are in a spiritual realm. It is a spiritual battle. And Jesus has said, greater is he that is in you, that's the Holy Spirit, than he that is in the world, that's our enemy. So that's a promise of God. And when you get tempted in your spiritual journey, in your recovery journey, stand in the Word of God and remind yourself, you know, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So you get those encouraging Bible verses. That one's really encouraging to me. So I'll tell myself that when I'm tempted. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I'll be encouraged. You might find other verses that really help you in your recovery to break through and to progress and to have antidotes and to have godly living. The last letter is the letter Y. Yield. Yield to growth. Yield to the growth. You know, when you are in recovery and you're making progress, people in your small group will notice first that you are responding to life circumstances differently. They'll notice progress in your life. And when you are in small group and you notice someone changing their behavior and changing the way they act, that used to be triggers and they aren't being triggered again, let them know that. If you're a sponsor, let your sponsee know that you see changes in how they're dealing with life. Other people will notice it in you before you will notice it in yourself, because we're a little bit blind to our addictions, hang-ups, and we're blind to our progress. So we need to be reminded by others. You know, this whole thing that we call recovery, there's a fancy word at big church that you'll hear from sermons, and that word is sanctification. You know, you ask every Christian, are you being sanctified? And the answer is yes. And recovery, what we're doing here, is sanctification. We are being sanctified. We are being changed for the better by being in recovery and having God work in our life and yielding to the Holy Spirit, yielding to His changes in our life. There's a Bible verse, 1 John 3. Let's read this one. The person who has been born into God's family does not make a practice of sinning, because now God's life is in him, so he can't keep sinning. For this new life has been born into him and controls him. He has been born again. 1 John 3:9. This is great. I can yield to this. I can yield to this and say, I'm born again. I don't have to repeat my crazy cycle. I don't have to act the same way. I don't have to argue. I don't have to view porn. I don't have to fight people. I don't have to tell people how great I am at cycling. You know, I don't have to act the same way. I don't have to repeat my bad habits. I can start new habits with God's help. So, you know, there's a lot of material that we covered tonight with the scripture verses. You know, I'm ready to see change in my own life, and I keep showing up because I do see change not only in my life, but in my friends' lives that come here into recovery. So keep coming back, working the program. It does work. We've got a lot of proof around here. You want to be ready for the changes that God has in plan for you. You want to be easy on yourself in your recovery. Don't compare the speed of your recovery or your sobriety to somebody else's. It's your personal journey. So rejoice in what you're doing. You're here tonight. Be easy on yourself. Don't be condemning. You know, replace your defects with godly defects, with godly patterns, not defects. Yeah. And yield to the growth. You know, you are going to change. And it's just a great thing that we do. You know, once a month we have the coin ceremony up front, where we do annual celebrations and we see the changed lives. And then in your small groups, you have monthly moments to get the coins. So seek to earn those progress coins, you know, whether it's monthly or yearly, and seek to affirm others in their recovery tonight. So I'm just going to challenge you, if you see somebody changing in your small group, give an affirmation tonight to someone that you haven't affirmed before, and it will become contagious. It will become a new habit, and we'll become better for it. So I thank you for listening to me tonight, and let me just close in prayer. Lord, we've talked a lot about theory and heard some examples, and your Holy Spirit is here. Your Holy Spirit is in each person that's a believer, and you convict us of right doing and wrongdoing. So have us take in all the good counsel tonight, and have us be changed people, and have us be ready to see that you are faithful and just to hear us, and you're ready to help us in our journey to become men and women of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Thanks, Daniel.